Now, I want to read out a quotation here. When I reached the lowest ebb of my life, I called out to God and discovered that He was there for me. They are the words of my next guest, who has written a most beautiful book that has just been released. And we're going to have a chat about Whisperings of My Soul with Father Sean Hyland, and he joins me now. Father Sean, good evening.
Good evening, Gareth. Good evening, Eric.
And listen, delighted to have you. What's the weather like up there in Kildare and Loughlin, where you're based?
Too bad. It's nice and mild now. Nice and mild and fine, yeah.
Yeah, it's unusually mild. It was a bit cold a bit earlier, but anyway, we're going to raise the temperature a little bit here, of course, because Whisperings of My Soul, it really is, Father Sean, in every essence, you're pouring out your heart and your soul into a book, sharing your very own life story.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about it.
So I'll just get to introduce myself first. Father Sean Hyland, the curate in the Diocese of Clare and Loughlin, and I live in my hometown of Port Harrington, County Laois. Mature candidate to the priesthood, having lost my wife Liz to cancer in December 2008, and I studied at the Pontifical Beda Cod in Rome. It was a four-year program for mature men. I was ordained a priest to my hometown of Port Harrington in 2014. So after the death of our two young children in the 1970s, we were both in our 20s, two young children, little girl age two, never sick a day in her life, swept from us with viral pneumonia before we had a chance to get a doctor. A year later, a little boy with a totally different complaint, Reye's syndrome, and he was taken to heaven at a year old. No connection between the two. I spent a number of years in darkness, questioning and anger, as you would. And during that time, Liz had an unshakable faith. She was the light, the energy, and the source of optimism in my life. She had a deep and unshakable faith. I retained a tenuous connection with my faith. I kept going to Mass with Liz, trying to draw what I could from it, but at times it was very little. And I tried to reason my way through, how could this be? My children were here 1 minute and gone the next. Why would that be? I read science, philosophy, and religion for years, trying to figure out if there was any answer at all. And through reasoning and walking alongside Liz, I came back to accept after a number of years of anger and questioning that there was a creative intelligence behind the origin of the world, and indeed there was a divine intelligence as is described in the New Testament, in the Bible. And that started me on my faith journey.
So now, Father Sean, I'm going to take you a little bit back in time to the 1970s, and you refer to your two young children, Shauna and Kieran. Yep. Like, you know, to lose one child is heartbreaking, but to lose a second child so close, I mean, you would be forgiven, you know, for questioning a lot of things. And, you know, the one question that comes to mind is, why did God do this? Was God angry with me? Is there even a God? They're the natural questions I'm sure a lot of people will go through in that hour of grief.
Oh, absolutely. And I tested every one of those and at times looked up and shook my fist and said, I don't know if you're there, and if you are, how you could do this to me. I mean, I said that more than once. But I then realized, Dara, that looking at Liz, I had to reason my way to some acceptance. You know, I wasn't going to get a specific answer to that there and then. I accepted that, and I had to reason my way through it. And then, as I say, I got back. And I'll give you what those answers are a little bit later on in the consolations. It'd be a wrong time to try and give them to you now. But I did get an answer to them in the fullness of time. But I did ask all those questions, and I had to go through reason as well as faith to come back to a place, after several years of anger, that was a place of peace and calm, and then my spiritual journey carried on for the next 33 years from the time Shauna died until Liz died.
Yeah, that's a quite a remarkable journey. And, you know, when I'm listening to you there, and I was reading up on your book last night, my mind was transferred back to that lovely story of footprints. When the person sees only one set of footprints and they're saying, God, but you left me on my own. And God said, no, that's the moment that I carried you. And I suppose, in every essence, it's the epiphany moment when our eyes are actually opened, our ears are opened, when you realize, you know, you weren't alone at all during that time. Your wife Liz was there to impart her faith on you. And then when Liz was taken, it was up to you to carry on that mantle again.
That's exactly. You've got it exactly. And I'll describe the first one was after several years of anger. And luckily, I diverted that, as you probably gathered, into my career. And progressed quite well with American companies becoming director of manufacturing. So my energy, luckily, the anger wasn't, you know, too raw or too negative. But I woke up one morning, and if we went on holidays, Liz would arrange them to give us a peace of mind. If the flight was delayed, I'd blow up. If the weather was bad, I'd blow up. Not as Liz, but... And I woke up one morning seeing how tense Liz was. The one person in the world that I loved, and, you know, I was causing her to be tense, and I decided I'm going to change. I want to be more like that peace-filled, dignified person that Liz is becoming than the angry, aggressive person that I'm becoming. And indeed, it was getting accolades for it in the corporate environment. That was the start of my spiritual journeys, several years after her children died. And then for the next 30 years, I walked that journey with Liz. As you say, when Liz got sick, I had a choice. Now, by this time, I long accepted my children were with Jesus. Liz was going there, and I wanted to go there, so I wasn't going to argue with him. You know what I mean? It was a question of, help me get through this, Jesus. Give me the strength to take care of Liz in the way she's taken care of me all those years. Because we knew the cancer was in the system. It was a nine-month journey, and I was always a pessimist. I was afraid I'd go down. I got more strength than I would have in my natural, and I thank God for that. On the morning of Liz's funeral, and moving forward pretty fast to the moment you described there, I knew this was the worst day of my life. And just before I woke up, that moment, I'd been awake with Liz for a few nights in hospital, in, you know, in the final vigil, exhausted those. Just before I woke up, I was given to understand, like little patches of her life running before my mind, the simplest little things, nothing big or extraordinary, how lucky I was, how incredibly fortunate I was to have shared my life with Liz for 40 years. And there were the smallest little things there. There weren't big things, just all the little things she had done. I understood them in the context they were in. And to your point, I knew then that it was being carried most of the time. A little light went on in my appreciation for all I had lost and all I was going to have to deal with in the future. That light has never gone out. I understood the gift that it was given for over 40 years with Liz.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, actually, Father Sean, when you talk to people that when they're at their lowest ebb, their absolute lowest ebb, that's when they feel something and they know that there's something there. And I shared that my own story with you there yesterday, and I'm not going to bore listeners with that now. But there are times when you're at your lowest ebb, if you just have the courage to reach out and open your eyes, open your heart, that there is something there for you that will pick you back up again. And as somebody once said to me, well, Jesus fell 3 times under the cross. Why didn't he just stay down the first time? But he had to get back up. And that's what we all have to do as people.
Indeed. And I'll give you, just to move it on, having got that little light, that the gift I'd been given, my prayer became, Jesus, let me know Liz and my children are safe and well with you in a way that I can stand on. I was retired. I'd taken early retirement, luckily, a year before Liz got sick at 57, and we had a lovely year together. Thought we had 20, but that's... So I was retired. I was going to Mass every morning, and my prayer was, let me know they're safe and well, Jesus, in a way I can stand on. Maybe I can bear this. 13 days after Liz died, on New Year's Eve, Liz died on 18th of December. I went up to knock over Christmas. We were going to go together if she had lived. Got a bit of peace there. On New Year's Eve, I was having a dinner with my older sister, who was widowed for a couple of years and finding it tough. And we knew everyone was going out partying. About 7 o'clock that evening, my younger sister, who lives in Bray, an hour away from me, phoned me, said she had knocked off work about 6 o'clock. I was sitting in her car, finishing a cigarette, waiting to go in to get her hair done, to go out partying. And she remembers looking up at the moon and musing. You know the way you'd muse? Ah, Liz, where are you? Herself and Liz were fairly close. Just musing. Ah, where are you, Liz? And with that, she had what we call a locution. Locution is a little inner message that you can get from a heavenly body. Might be an angel. You know, it might be a departed relative. It might be Jesus or Mary. You know, you can identify the voice for some reason. I've had one or two since, so I know what I'm describing. And the words you get, you can't add or subtract them. It's not like daydreaming. It's like they're branded in your mind. And you have no right to add or subtract. You just get them. So as May said, ah, Liz, where are you? She understood. She got Liz's internal voice. Just said, May, I want you to phone Sean and let him know how incredibly happy I am, united with Shauna, who's a little girl, and Kieran, our little boy. I'm looking out for him. And May had such a sense of peace around that message that came with it. It's never left her. And you can imagine what my prayer had been. Let me know. I'm going to jump forward, Dara, for the second time. I had several other little experiences within the family over the next couple of months like that. My brother, another relative, and myself. But I'll jump out of the family because even I was beginning to think, well, is it psychosomatic? You know, is the depth of my grief drawn this in? 6 months on, June of that year, my ex-boss from Hewlett-Packard, managing director of the site, he only came to Ireland in the year 2000. The American vice president who set up the site with me in 1995 had gone back to the States. Actually, I was hoping to get the job, but you have to be years with Hewlett-Packard to get it, and I had just joined in 95. He came from Singapore, managing director, worked with him for a couple of years, then retired in 2006. He was down for Liz's funeral, okay, you know, a year later in 2008, December. Shook hands with him, that was all. So now, 6 months on, he phones me up out of the blue, told me what was going on in Hewlett-Packard. I told him what was going on in my life. He said, Sean, I have a little message for you. And I thought it was something from the States, maybe offering commiseration. He said, now, I don't know how this will affect you. It might please you or upset you. And I knew immediately then what it was. I said, Lionel, I want to know. Just tell me. He said, I had a dream about Liz last night. And in the dream, I was out running, which he does. And he's seen a big park, wrought iron irons, people inside. Suddenly he's seen Liz coming, walking towards him in the dream. And he knew she was dead. But he slowed down. Hi, Lionel. Hi, Liz. Lionel, I want you to phone Sean and let him know how incredibly happy I am, united with Sean and Kieran. I'm looking out for him. He said she turned to go back into the park, and Lionel, like myself, is an engineer by background training, very logical. So, Liz, I have to ask you, is there a heaven? He said she turned with the biggest knowing smile you could see and said, there is, Lionel, there is. Turned around and went back into the park. Disappeared. Said, I want to come, remember, I'm on the phone down in Port Arlington, an hour away. He's in Islip. I want to come up tomorrow, have lunch. I wanted to know every last word. Because at this stage, I knew for sure it was a message. It wasn't some dreaming. Went up. He told me a little story as I've described it to you, Dara. Then I wanted to know what Liz was wearing. I wanted to be able to picture exactly what was going on in the dream. I met Liz in 1967. I was an apprentice electrician with ESB, working in construction down in Tarbert, a generating station in Kerry. Coming home to Limerick, Liz's dinner dance was coming up for the Christmas. I went into Vera Maud's. It's still there. And Colette Maud's was called that time, a boutique, and bought her a dress so she'd have something different for the dinner dance. Never had a photograph, never thought any more about it. What Lionel described Liz as wearing was that dress to a T. So I'll just give you those couple of examples.
Wow.
Say, I got explicit consolations. That's how explicit they were. I had about 30 of those in total. About 10 of them were my own internal little things, like the first one, and 20 were third-party people, like my sister Lionel.
Absolutely powerful, Father Sean. Absolutely powerful. And of course, I mean, I don't want to jump over time, but that's what led you to, you know, going forward, offering yourself to be a priest and being ordained in 2014. And now you have this book, which I think there's something there for everybody in the audience. I mean, it's going to touch people, it's going to help them, and particularly those who are struggling through grief or any other moment in their life.
Absolutely. I think it'll touch, certainly it's touching people, because I've shared in Burberry for a long while with people that are struggling with any grief or loss or anxiety. That's one category. I think it's going to help people, even if they're not grieving and they're a bit weak in their faith. They're trying to pray and they say, gosh, I don't know how real it is. I've no fears, but I wish my faith was a bit. I think it'll help them to grab hold of the reality and the presence of heaven and God and inhabitants. And thirdly, I think, if you know it, there are chapters 2 and 3, I think, those people who might be concerned about sons or daughters or nieces or nephews or even brothers or sisters who are gone fully agnostic, you know what I mean, just can't, they're not totally atheists, but just can't get any feel for faith or rouse up enough energy to pray anything. I think there's enough more in chapter 2 and 3, the miracles and the scientific, what science is now saying about the origin of the world in actual fact, that they'll get something that will cause them to rethink their worldview right now. I've no doubt about that.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, now, for all our listeners who want to get that book, Whisperings of My Soul, it's available at all Veritas outlets and all good bookstores nationwide. It's priced at $14.95. It's in paperback, published by Orla Kelly Publishing, and written by Father Sean Hyland. Father Sean, I could talk to you forever, and we will have you on again, that's for sure. Time is after catching up on us. But listen, well done on everything you've done, and well done on sharing your story with so many people that I know it will touch people in a very profound way.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dara. I appreciate it. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll catch up again very soon, Father Sean. And take care of yourself and God bless.
Bye.
Take care. There we had Father Sean Hyland sharing his own personal story. And I know now that, you know, there'll be some people out there and it mightn't have any meaning for them, but, you know, there might be somebody out there that is in a dark place and does need a little bit of light and a little bit of hope and understanding. That book, Whisperings of My Soul, available at Veritas and all good bookstores nationwide.